Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on the radio with you. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here tonight. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And, I'm going to go ahead and start our program tonight with a word of prayer. And we'll get into a couple of things here yet tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. And we do pray, Lord, that you would bless and use the program this evening for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless, use the program for your purposes. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And I tell you what, absolutely gorgeous day here in northeastern Ohio. I mentioned last week about how the colors in the autumn trees, the fall foliage, has really been picking up here in the last couple of weeks. And this past weekend, this current weekend, I should say, is usually considered about the peak here in northeastern Ohio, the northern third of Ohio. And then, of course, next weekend is the peak in central tier of the state, and then going to the southern tier of the state, southern third of the state, the weekend after that, another couple of weeks. But I'm telling you that this year I was kind of concerned because of some of the weird weather we had this past summer that we wouldn't have much color in the trees. And I have been very pleasantly surprised to see the amount of reds that are coming out in the trees this year. And not just merely the oranges and the yellows, but I'm talking about reds, bright reds, magentas, deep reds, scarlets, and even a fair amount of purplish blue colors in some of the trees, but mostly a lot of these deep reds. And it's just been a joy driving around here these last few days. It's hard to keep my eyes on the road. Just it's been too many incredible displays of color. It's like God has really outdone himself this year in northeastern Ohio. If you might not have guessed, this is one of my favorite times of the year. I love the changeover of the season, and it's just like one row of trees near my house as I come out on the main road. It's just like every day that I've gone by him this week, the color has intensified. And today, heading out for church was no disappointment. I think they were almost all completely deep red with very little green left on them, and yet still full of leaves, which really makes an impressive sight to it. And so if you haven't had a chance to get out much and you're wanting to come and see the fall leaves, this is a great time to do it. The weather was wonderful today. I think in my house I got up to 65 degrees at one point. It was a little warmer than I thought we were going to get. Not too bad outside right now. I came into the studio, it was 52 degrees and a little light rain, not much. But a very, very pleasant day today, much of the day. And actually this weekend was great. So wait and see what the weather's supposed to be. We're expecting, they said, a wintry mix later in the week, but hopefully that won't happen just yet. Of course, for our listeners further south, it's a little bit different situation, a little warmer on average than we are this time of year. And, we will wait, see how the winter transpired, the fall transpires here, and praying that it won't get too cold. I wouldn't mind it getting nice, little bit of a frost and a little bit of maybe a little quick snow, and then back to spring. That'd be ideal. But this is northeastern Ohio. So again, welcome to the program today. I'm Pastor Al Davis. You can join us at livewithpastoral.com online. That's livewithpastoral.com online. You can find out more about us there. And you can also listen to past programs there. There's some articles and other materials there, all at livewithpastoral.com. You can link from that to our homepage, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can find out more about us there if you're in northeastern Ohio or visiting here. We'd love to have you visit our church. And again, of course, you can call in with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And got a couple of other announcements, but before we get into that, I did want to mention one more thing, talking about the fall foliage, if you'll indulge me for one brief moment more. I had a funeral earlier this past week, and one of the things that I was mentioning is how in death we often appreciate the person more. Sometimes we see things that maybe we just either forgot or just kind of overlooked or just weren't paying attention to when they were alive, and we begin to think and reminisce about memories and things that come to mind. And I remarked about how it's like in the fall, when the leaves begin to change color, what happens is these reds and oranges and yellows and even purples and things, they're not being added to the leaf. Those colors were there all summer long. It's just that with the chlorophyll in the leaf, the green masked the other underlying colors. And it's only when the leaf begins dying, the chloroplasts die off, and so the chlorophyll breaks down, the green color goes away. So it's only as the leaves are dying, the trees are not dying, but it's as the leaves are dying that the hidden beauty is revealed. And I kind of thought about that, you know, thinking about sometimes in death, we see some of the beauty that we might have missed sometime in life or overlooked as we remember the good things about somebody. And of course, you know, when we look at this, these are the things that God has there to hopefully give us a little illustration and encourage us along the way. All right. Well, I wanted to mention as well here, before we get to our callers here tonight, I mentioned it last week, and I wanted to mention it again, the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration on Veterans Day this year, November the 11th, at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. at 11:30 a.m. And you are invited. If you are able to be in Washington, D.C. on Veterans Day, that's November the 11th, it's a Friday this year, please join us. We'll be at the World War II Memorial, and of course, it's Pastor Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance, who spearheaded this, and also Senator Rob Portman, who sponsored the legislation in the Senate, and Representative Johnson, who sponsored it in the House, the U.S. House, and so they are to be there, and we are going to have Melanie Miller, who is from Ashland, Ohio, singing some patriotic music, and a wonderful person, wonderful voice, and looking forward to that. And then, of course, local host here in the Cleveland area, Bob France, is going to be the MC of the event. He will be there. Some of our people on the Salem affiliates outside of Cleveland may have heard Bob France. He's filled in for a number of the national Salem talk show hosts. He's filled in for Dennis Prager, and he's filled in for Hugh Hewitt. He's filled in for Sebastian Gorka and others over the years. And so he is going to be there with us. And there's also, I believe, we're planning, there's going to be a group of World War II reenactors. I believe right now there's about 30 scheduled to be with us. Some will be in battle dress uniforms, like they're going off to the war. Some will be in their Class A's, and they're going to be taking part in the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration. If you go online to our website at livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to our last Friday program, and I had Chris Long on the air with me, and we were talking about the history of this and some other interesting things about it. We also played President Franklin Delano Roosevelt's prayer that he gave to the nation to let the nation know that the invasion to retake Europe was underway. At the time, it was one of the most listened to radio broadcasts ever. And then, of course, we're going to have Bill Federer, author and historian. If you're familiar with Bill Federer's work, and he also has the American Minute website, email, sends out a number of things every day, historical aspects, our Christian heritage. And if you've not heard Bill Federer or read any of his materials or subscribed to the American Minute, you got to check him out. You can find him online. Just go for American Minute. I believe it's AmericanMinute.com. Certainly do a search for Bill Federer or William Federer. You might find him that way too. And you will enjoy what you see. If you're familiar with David Barton, well, he's like David Barton, he talks faster and has a lot more information sometimes. But both are a joy. I've heard both of them, met both of them. But Bill Federer will be with us. He will be doing a presentation during the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration on Veterans Day at the World War II Memorial, and that's at 11:30 a.m. After that, he is going to be leading a walking tour, starting with the World War II Memorial. Then we'll go also to the Korean War Memorial, the Vietnam War Veterans Memorial. And then we'll finish up at the Lincoln Memorial. And if you're here in northeastern Ohio and you would like to ride a bus, there is a charter bus that's going to be leaving from Wadsworth, Ohio. And it will be leaving from the Northside Christian Church in Wadsworth, Ohio on Ridge Road. And it is going to leave on Thursday, November the 10th at 11 a.m. And then we'll arrive in Washington, D.C., spend the night in Washington, D.C., I believe at the Holiday Inn near Reagan National Airport. And then the bus will take us over to the World War II Memorial in time for the regularly scheduled Veterans celebration at the World War II Memorial at 9. And then after that, of course, then is when we'll be having ours, the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration. And then the bus, for those who ride the bus, will pick us up at the Lincoln Memorial and then return back to Wadsworth, Ohio, probably getting in around midnight or so. And that information you can find if you go online at OhioCA.org. That's for Ohio Christian Alliance, OhioCA.org. And there is a registration sheet there. You can click on the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration for Veterans Day. The cost for an individual includes hotel and bus. It's $235. The cost for a couple or two people sharing a room, it would be the room and the bus fare, is $320. And I think we have the bus at least half filled right now. And so there are seats available, but they are going. And if you are interested and want to take part in this, the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration on Veterans Day at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., please check that out at OhioCA.org. And a question was asked recently, if I don't go on the bus, will it cost something to attend the celebration or to follow along on the walking tour? The answer is no. It is open to whoever is there. And so if you're in an area, maybe you don't want to drive to northeastern Ohio to ride a bus, it's easier, or you would just prefer to drive to Washington, D.C. on your own, meet us there at 11:30 for the D-Day Prayer Edition celebration on Veterans Day at the World War II Memorial, and then just stay with us, and you can follow along on the walking tour with Bill Federer, and I know you'll have a great time. So it's open to everybody, but if you want to ride the bus and have the hotel room reserved, check out OhioCA.org. That's OhioCA.org. All right, well, we're going to get back into other things with our program here tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got Nancy, who's patiently waiting for us here tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And I really missed coming Friday night, but I don't know if anybody told you, my granddaughter had an engagement party.
Yes.
But it was a real blessing. I got to witness to five people, so that's good.
Amen.
Yeah, lost. They were all lost. Now, my question tonight or comment is about the predicted worldwide famine or food shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, getting back to the seasons, I just want to tell you, autumn is my favorite time of the year, too, because of the changing, you know, of the colors of the leaves.
Yes.
And I did stand two different times to drive out east and look at all the gorgeous leaves on Tuesday and Friday during daylight. And it's amazing how much they had changed just in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But the colors were absolutely gorgeous going along Route 90 going east. Now, my question today, like I said, is regarding the worldwide predicted food famine. And I'm thinking that, would you agree that it's the globalists that really want this to happen because it's a depopulation tool? To go from 7 billion to half a billion. I was just curious if you thought that, you know, this is sort of premeditated, that the globalists are doing things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we see the things that they're doing. Here's a good example. Biden went to Saudi Arabia hat in hand, begging them to produce more oil. And again, I guess he just was begging them again not to slow their production of oil until after the midterm elections. He was rebuffed both times. And here's the thing. Before he took office, the United States had become a net oil exporter. We were producing more than anybody else in the world, and really we have a lot of Canadian listeners. United States and Canada together, we could basically ignore the rest of the world when it comes to energy because of our oil and natural gas resources, and not to mention coal as well. There's no reason for us to have a shortage driving up the price of gasoline at the pump right now, except that it's designed that way. Now, here's what that does, and I know you asked about famine and not the price of oil or gasoline, but here's how it's related, and this is why this is absolutely a planned thing. We see that oftentimes in history, where famine, food shortages are used to manipulate populations into accepting dictatorial governments. Joseph Stalin and his systematic starvation of the Ukraine was a perfect example. Also in Somalia in the 1980s, the systematic starvation of the people there, and of course, it wasn't because of a food shortage that was caused by famine or drought, pestilence like locusts or something like that. It was caused absolutely by the communist government that was trying to force compliance. And we see this over and over, and I'll give an example out of Scripture where we can see some of this too. But what I was going to say is, getting back to oil being in short supply, there's a couple of things that happen when you have oil in short supply and high energy costs. One of them is that in order to produce the grain and the other crops that we use to feed the world, it takes energy. It takes oil to run the tractors. It takes You know, they have to have diesel. They have to have gasoline to run the tractors, to run the planters, to run the combines, to run all this material or these machines that are used to for everything from tilling the soil to planting the seeds and cultivating and harvesting and all the steps that are involved in producing those crops that we take for granted. And it's all dependent on oil. When oil is in short supply, when energy costs skyrocket, farmers are forced to cut back. Sometimes they don't plant as much. Sometimes they don't do as much, perhaps, with the cultivation or other things. And the end result is lower crops, lower crop yield, I should say, and less food on the end. Now, here's another aspect. And we see a shortage of fertilizers. Urea is a compound that that is used to not only make an additive for diesel fuel that a lot of our trucks need in order to run today, and we'll come back to that one in a minute, but also the fertilizer that's made from that and things that enable us to have the huge crops that we have. You know, without the fertilizer that we put on the fields, we would not have the yield that enables us to feed so many people from the crops that are grown here in America, and not just here, in other parts of the world. In the Netherlands, I believe it was, farmers were demonstrating, driving their farm equipment into the capital, I think Brussels or whatever, earlier this summer, because they were told that they could not use as much fertilizer because they were putting too much nitrogen in the soil. And too much nitrogen was considered a bad thing. Most people don't realize the atmosphere, the air that you and I are breathing right now is predominantly nitrogen. It's the number one gas in the air that we breathe. And nitrogen is plant food. What's that?
I thought oxygen.
Oh, no, oxygen is a small percentage of the air that we breathe. Nitrogen is the bulk of it. But nitrogen is necessary for plant growth. When I was growing up, we always had chickens. I grew up on a small farm, and we had a chicken yard. It was a pretty good-sized chicken yard, and it ran in one area for years. And then one year, my dad decided to reroute and lay out the chicken yard in a different direction and turn the area where the old chicken yard was into a garden. Well, let me tell you, the years of chicken manure on that ground had put so much nitrogen into the soil that when we planted a garden that year, the tomatoes just shot up in the air. Tried to plant some potatoes, and we didn't get any little tiny potatoes, like not much bigger than marbles. But boy, we had the most beautiful potato plants that you ever did see. So nitrogen is necessary, and there's certain crops like legumes, like beans and clover and alfalfa and other legumes that actually put nitrogen into the soil. They have little nodules on the roots with bacteria, I believe, and the nitrogen that's in the air gets fixed in a form that is in the soil that other plants can take up and promote growth. Sometimes people have noticed that when a lightning storm goes through, that sometimes the grass greens up a few days later. It's because when the lightning goes through the air, that surge of electricity causes nitrogen to precipitate down into the soil in a form that the plants can use, and they green up. Nitrogen makes plants green. It promotes leaf growth and stem growth and things like that. And it's so for any crop that's dependent on, you know, essentially above ground growth, corn or lettuce or cabbage or any number of crops, you need nitrogen. And to be told that you can't plant it, well, that's no other reason than to reduce the amount of food, isn't it?
Oh,
see? Okay. And so the lack of fertilizer, and in some cases being told you can't use it even when you have it, is reducing crop yields. The high price of energy, diesel and gasoline, which is preventing farmers from planting and taking care of their crops and harvesting. And then once it is harvested, of course, you need diesel and gasoline to harvest it and transport it to the market. And with the urea shortage they make, and it's going to slip my mind what it is, DEG or something like that, that they put into the, it's an additive to the diesel that a lot of our newer diesels need. And when you're not able to produce that, what's going to happen when the trucks that are delivering our food can't get to the stores to deliver the food, or from the farm to the warehouses and places? And so as a result, it's an artificially induced famine, and its purpose. What's that?
I understand the connection now between oil.
Yeah. Now, and I was going to say the purpose. There's several purposes. One purpose is just like you said. You starve people and you reduce, as Ebenezer Scrooge put it in A Christmas Story, you reduce the surplus population in their mind. The other thing is, of course, that you're able to use food and, more importantly, hunger as a tool to get people to accept what you're doing. And let me give you, if I can, a real quick rundown of a place in Scripture where we see this happen. We went over this at a Friday night Bible study a few weeks ago one time, and in Genesis, the book of Genesis, when Joseph brought his family down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land, and remember, Pharaoh had the dream that basically Joseph interpreted, God gave him the interpretation, there'd be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, and Pharaoh put Joseph in charge, and during the 7 years of plenty, he stored grain, huge amounts of grain. And then when the famine came, he was in a position to feed people, and including his family, which he brought down, they settled in the land of Goshen. But during this time, as the famine increased, it says in Genesis 47, verse 13, "And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house." So first thing he did is he got all their money. They were starving. What use is money when we're starving? And so they parted with their money. Now, keep in mind, Joseph was essentially a benevolent dictator.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
When the dictator is benevolent, that's fine. But not every dictator. In fact, most of them are not benevolent. Most of them are malevolent. And so Joseph gets all the money. Now the money's gone. Verse 15, "When the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, 'Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth.'" Notice what he does next. Verse 16, "And Joseph said, 'Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail.'" So they bring their cattle, and they sell their cattle to Joseph for some bread, basically. And again, in verse 18, it says, "When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, 'We will not hide it from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not left in the sight of the Lord but our bodies and our hands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, for the land be and that the land be not desolate." And you see what happened here? Because of bread, they gave their money, they gave their cattle, they eventually gave themselves and their land over to Joseph. They sold themselves for bread. And the starvation caused them to give up everything and go from being free men and women to bought and owned by Pharaoh himself. And dictators down through the ages have used this pattern, starving people into submission. Hey, Nancy, we're out of time. If you need to hang over to the second half, stay tuned. We got another half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on the radio with you. Our toll-free call in number is 888-677-9673. If you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we were talking with Nancy in the last half about famine and being used by the globalists to march us into a new world order. And we're going to pick that up here again in just a few minutes. But just a reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can find out more there as well. And there's also a number of other things that are there, some articles and things that I've written. And our latest article is up on there now called The Pecking Order, and you can find that on there as well. Just to let you know, not only are we brought to you tonight primarily by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, we're also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. If you're in Northeast Ohio, Garfield Heights on the east side of Cleveland, you can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about us here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, I'm going to get back with Nancy here. And we were talking about famine. And Nancy, are you still with us there?
Yes. Could I bring up a couple of Bible verses that I wanted to ask you about if they would apply?
Sure. And before you do that, let me just say a couple things here real quick just to catch everybody up in case somebody just tuned in. Nancy had asked about the famine and the coming the push for a global new world order, global government, and could this be, and I was mentioning about how historically famine has been used, artificial man-induced famines, in order to starve people into submission. Joseph Stalin did it, of course, in Ukraine. It was done in the 1990s in Somalia, and then I, before the break, was mentioning about in Genesis chapter number 47, where it tells about the years of famine following the 7 years of plenty, then the 7 years of famine, where Joseph was second in charge, second only to Pharaoh. And during the famine that occurred there, he basically gathered up all of the money that belonged to the Egyptian people. Then he gathered up all of the herds, the cattle that belonged to them. And then finally, the people, because of the famine, were willing to sell themselves and their land, and they went from being free men to the property owned by Pharaoh. Their land, their cattle, and of course their money was not their money anymore, all owned by Pharaoh. And I pointed out Joseph was a benevolent dictator in this sense. But other dictators down through history have followed the same pattern, taking advantage of famine, whether real, as in the case of Genesis chapter 47, or man-induced, as in the case of the Ukraine with Stalin, or Somalia in the 1990s and other times. And we're talking about how there is an effort to reduce the production of food in the world, and through the high price of energy, diesel and gasoline, the lack of fertilizers, and even when fertilizers are present, passing laws saying you can't use as much of the fertilizer, all of this conspiring to create an artificial worldwide food shortage. We didn't even mention the number of food processing plants, distribution sites, storage sites that have had a series of, shall we say, unfortunate events, explosions, fires, different things happening. We see the world being set up for a food shortage on a global scale, don't we?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like I said, I believe they're using this to bring people to accept the new world order, the new global government, because when everybody's starving, then they will listen to somebody that says, well, I can give you some bread for a little cost. It's only you and everything you own. Like Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum said, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
Be happy, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to mention Matthew 6:25-26. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. And is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? So this sort of implies that you just depend upon God, but God doesn't jump out of the sky. You have to do things to facilitate, getting more food. And and also another concern I have is if we have this worldwide food shortage and they take away our energy, like electricity, gas, how are you... If you do, like Joseph did, back in Genesis, store up, ahead of time, store up food, but you have to have a way to to cook it, you know, or prepare mm-hmm. it. And I love my Vitamix. I love to make smoothies. I make three on the day. And I just, you know, we need electricity. Is there some way, I've heard about generators. Do you know of, what makes generators run? I mean, they're not dependent upon electricity, right?
Well, this is wherein the problem comes, because there's various scenarios that can make the power go out, you know, and make us dependent, for instance, electricity dependent on a generator, for instance. And one of those scenarios is that there's a disruption in the power lines, the power supply or production somewhere along the line, and the electricity goes out. And there's various ways that can happen, sometimes natural disasters. I'm sure most of our listeners have been in a situation due to a storm, or lines are down somewhere and your power's out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're breaking out candles and oil lamps and things like that. But, of course, your refrigerator, your freezer, if you have an electric stove, that's going to, even if you have a gas powered, so natural gas powered stove, a lot of times it won't light if that little electronic thing isn't working. You need power for that. But anyway, as I'm getting at is that there's other things other than a natural storm. There's a phenomena called an electromagnetic pulse, and this can happen due to a solar flare. That would simply burn out the electronics in many things. Or it could be a man-made electromagnetic pulse. And we learned in the tests of the nuclear bombs in the South Pacific back in the, I'm trying to think when it was, in the 50s, where they did a test, and basically the city of Honolulu in Hawaii lost their power. And we had one of the aircraft carriers that was there, it might have been the Enterprise or something like that, that went in, and they plugged their ship's power supply as a nuclear power character. I'm going to get confused on which one it was, I think. But at any rate, they had to go in and help power the city of Honolulu. Of course, it was much smaller back then than it is today. But the Russians, the Chinese, and we believe the North Koreans, Iranians, and others have all experimented with the basis of how would you do an electromagnetic pulse attack on the United States that would cripple the United States by knocking out our electronics. And one of them, for instance, would be to drop a nuclear warhead from a satellite and explode it at a certain altitude over the United States, or you could launch one from a ship off the coast of the United States and have it explode a certain altitude above the East Coast and maybe the Gulf Coast and different places. And depending on the size and the altitude and all, it'll have an effect where it'll basically fry the electronics, much like a major solar flare would. Now, if that happened, you know, your transistor, everything from the transistor up, your integrated chips, your computer, probably just about anything anybody's listening to us on right now, your cell phones, all of that, or at least a large part of them, would be useless. They would be, if not destroyed, certainly no power to generate to use them. In many cases, they would be destroyed. I remember when I was in the Air Force in the 1980s, the United States military is one of the largest stockpilers of vacuum tubes in the world, because vacuum tube technology, if maybe remembers your old vacuum tube radios and mm-hmm. televisions,
yes.
The vacuum tube would survive, but the transistors and the chips would not. And so that would decimate our country and cause massive starvation. Some scenarios suggest that as many as 80 to 90% of the population of the United States would be dead within a year from something like that. You could have a similar effect by attacking the infrastructure, either through cyber attack of something that crashes our energy production facilities, or physical attacks that takes out some key points in the power grid and causes a catastrophic failure. And, you know, there's plenty of information on this online. Frank Gaffney has a number of materials on, if you just do a search for him on this, as well as others. And this would be devastating because some people say, well, it'll return us to the 1800s, you know, a time before electricity. No, it would be worse than that because in the 1800s, people knew how to get water. People knew how to grow crops. People knew how to farm and conduct business and industry without mm-hmm. electricity. Yeah. And the whole infrastructure was based on doing these things without electricity. I told somebody recently, I said, if you like bananas, I love bananas. Here in northeastern Ohio, if we had a major attack on the power grid and all, you know, you wouldn't see bananas because there'd be no way you could grow a banana and ship it to a place here without the infrastructure that they had back in the 1800s. Back then, they had ways of doing it, and you didn't get them year-round. You'd only get them certain times, but they had ways of doing it that we wouldn't be able to do, and so it would be devastating. And there's some concern that something like that could happen and account for why the United States is not a major player in the final end time events. So these are things to be concerned about. And a generator, of course, at that point, the circuitry in it might be fried and it might be useless, even if it was to survive. How long before you have no gasoline to run it with? So
yeah, I was just thinking about that. What runs, even though it's not connected to electricity? Gosh, so would you? Can you think of anything, any one thing that you could do to protect yourself if there's a electromagnetic pulse attack? Is there any one thing you think a generator would be the best thing? And just
Most of the generators today have, you know, computer chips in them, and if they're fried and you can't use it, and plus if your electronics are fried, you can't use them anyways, and most of your refrigerators and everything have computer chips in them. Big thing is if you're able to live in an area where you can have your own water source. And that's one thing, because water certainly would be a big problem. If you live next to Lake Erie, you have one of the world's largest supplies of fresh water there in, you know, the Great Lakes. If you're living near the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic Ocean, that's a little more problematic because that's salt water, but there's still ways that you can distill it without electricity to produce drinkable water. But if you're living in an area where you don't have a ready supply of water, that can be a concern. And I would say for a lot of people, that's something that you ought to investigate. What can I do to replace my water supply if the municipal water is suddenly not there, or there's no electricity to pump water up 50 feet out of the ground, you know, from my well that I have? That's something that I think people should look at. And I just actually looking at the clock, I've got Terry waiting too. But I think that's one big thing. For Christians, we need to be prepared. And, you know, you can have water filtration devices and stuff without going overboard, but there's certain things you can do to help purify water when you do get it. But that's beyond the scope of our program today, certainly. But there are sources and resources online. But as Christians, ultimately, you shared some verses, we need to look to the Lord, don't we? We need to be sure that we're saved and our heart is right with God and we're allowing Him to guide us and direct us and to see us through. And that's why for many Christians, we're counting on the rapture. We're looking forward to that before. That's why it's called, Paul called it the blessed hope when he wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Because that's my blessed hope, is that He'll call us out of here before we reach a point like that. Hey, Nancy, I got to get Terry on here before we run out of time. And maybe we'll call and talk about some more of this again in the future. But thank you for your call, Nancy. And Terry, thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Happy post-Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yes, the last week.
Yes. So, but welcome.
Yeah, I was just going to, I thought I'd share this. I was going to bring up Romans for a minute, but I thought I'd bring this up. As gas prices soar in 2021, big oil CO companies got nearly $45 million. Michael Higgins and Darren Woods were exceptionally highly compensated and paid over $20 million each. So that's one of the reasons why the gas prices are so high, because the CEO comes
and gets on the line. But in reality, the biggest reason is between Biden here in the United States and Trudeau there in Canada, the United States and Canada that were undercutting the rest of the world in terms of energy production a few years ago. You know, you look at some of the things that have happened, and we've curtailed the energy production. And so, of course, you know, when supply goes down and demand is going up, the price goes up, doesn't it? And so we see that happening. We've got Biden releasing oil from the strategic petroleum supply oil, you know, and that was only supposed to be there for emergencies, not to lower the cost. He could simply reduce the price of oil by, getting rid of some of his executive orders and cutting some of the red tape and allowing the production and some of these pipelines to go forward. And same thing much in Canada, huh? What's that?
That's not going to happen under Biden's administration.
No, because they don't want that. They want the high prices. And I can actually remember back in the 1980s when prices, of course, very low, a little over a dollar a gallon. And we had people like Al Gore even back then saying that America's gas prices needed to be raised dramatically. They were talking about proposing like $8, $10, $12 a gallon in gasoline taxes. And their reason was to make people drive less. And there's a reason. I've said it before. What's that?
They're environmentalists.
Well, and it's not just that. There is a greater purpose for it. I went to school with a lot of these people who are in the environmental movement. I know how some of them think. And, there's people out there that are the true believers. They really think this is happening. But there's others that use them, like the Soviets coined the term during the Cold War, what they called useful idiots. And that's what they are. They're useful idiots because the purpose of the high gas prices and energy costs. See, two things that impede the globalist order is a mobile society and a middle class society. And using famine and high energy costs, they are trying to destroy the middle class. And also by raising the cost of energy and making it in short supply, they're trying to restrict the mobility of the people. You know, when you have enough money that you can live a comfortable life, you're not as prone to be desperate for a change. And also, when you have the ability to go whenever you want, wherever you want, it's harder for them to pin you down and force you into something. And so they need to get rid of both of those things. And high energy costs are a great tool, or make a great tool, along with famine, food shortages, to drive people out of their cars, or keep them from being mobile, and to ruin the middle class. And that, of course, helps them with their plans for the globalist government.
And the rich get richer and the poor get poor.
Well, and if you think about it, throughout history, the middle class didn't really exist much. You were either wealthy or you were poor. And so, of course, the communists came along and they said, hey, trust us. You know, you're poor because the wealthy are taking advantage of you. They're stealing what rightfully belongs to you. Follow us, and we'll ensure that that everybody will get what they need, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need, except when they get in power, they become more needy than anybody else. And they, anybody that ever read Animal Farm, the pigs eventually become just like the humans. And the those in charge become just like the wealthy that they replaced and take advantage. But of course, they always tell the people, well, we just have to struggle for a little bit longer, and just bear with us and trust us, and it'll be better. No, it only gets worse. Go down to Venezuela and see how that worked out. One of the most prosperous countries in the Western Hemisphere.
In the world.
Yeah, and look at it today.
Biggest oil company in the world.
Oh, yeah. Energy independent, wealthy, prosperous.
Australia's got their own oil. Doesn't Australia have their own oil? They don't deal with OPEC.
I'm not sure exactly on the situation with Australia, but I do know that if Trudeau and Biden wanted the United States and Canada to be energy independent or not dependent on OPEC, all we need to do is turn the calendar back a couple of years and go back to what we were doing just a few years ago. In 2019, we were the energy titans of the world. We were exporting oil and natural gas. And now we've got our leaders going hat in hand, begging the Saudis, please, please, can you give us just a drop of oil? It's orchestrated.
I personally think that we should forget about the Saudis, but that's my personal.
Well, but we need oil to keep our society alive, and if we don't, and you know, it's not just, I hear the music starting there, it's not just the fuel that we use it for, but I'm sitting in a studio here. I've got a microphone. It's got plastic on it. Where does all this plastic, the mouse that I have for my computer, where's this plastic come from? It comes from oil byproducts. You know, our society is dependent on oil. You can't get rid of it and expect to have the standard of living that we have today, can you?
No.
Yeah. So, well.
Thanks for taking my call, Pastor.
Well, thank you, Terry, for calling in. And again, as we see these shortages and we see these things happening, I just keep reminding people, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, and he was outlining the events that would be taking place during the tribulation period. And talking about how bad it was, he said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.